Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rowe, Ian Safara here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing wonderful. How are y'all?
Doing awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Gentry, I want to start on the Preds. You were there for Barry Trotz's press conference this week. Later that night, the draft lottery in terms of possibilities for the Predators went as poorly as it could have gone, and they end up with a number 5 overall pick. So, you know, kind of launching into the offseason here, the retention of Andrew Brunette in a league where things can look very differently from one year to the next, as you know, how do you feel about where the Predators are, the decision to retain Andrew Brunette, and what that means for your thoughts on how competitive this team may or may not be next season?
Yeah, you know, I came away a little discouraged from that press conference. I think most people did, just because there didn't really seem to be a plan for how to fix this short term. And by that I mean, if you're not making meaningful changes, then it's hard to expect meaningful change. And you just look at the Preds right now and you go, okay, well, why would we think next season's going to be any different? You guys have talked at length about the fact that in the NHL, you can't fire the players, so most teams end up firing the coach. I'm not saying that's necessarily a right or wrong in this instance, but it is how it usually goes in the NHL. And the Preds have been in this situation since, I guess, November, December, where it might have made sense to try to spark the team. You appreciate the fact that Barry Trotz does have a lot of loyalty, obviously, to Andrew Brunette, and I feel like he's backing his own decision here, and his own decisions in a lot of ways. But I could see a scenario where you either adjust and try to pull yourself out of this, or it just doesn't get any better. It's hard to look at this and see an older team. Why are they going to be any better next year when they're all a year older?
So I got into this argument with Jared yesterday, who I guess thinks that it doesn't matter. But I would argue that next year does matter in terms of if they're not a lot better, Gentry, and you know, like Saros doesn't have a huge bounce back year, they don't get in the playoffs. You know, obviously we can talk about Brunette possibly being fired at some point next season. But if that's the case and there isn't a huge turnaround – like, what would you expect to be a fair assessment of Barry Trotz and, I guess, you know, the temperature level on his seat at that point?
What's interesting about this is when he first stepped into that job, he was very much committed to the rebuild idea, or at least clearing the decks of the roster at first. You know, they had to sell off immediately at the trade deadline. There was a lot of talk about this, you know, have some patience. This is going to take some time. And I do think at the time, Preds fans were so tired of being stuck in that same place that I do think there was some buy-in from – we talk about buy-in – some buy-in from the fan base in terms of, you know, okay, we might be bad for a little bit, but there's a plan here and a way to come out of it. It feels like that first season went a little better than he expected, so now all of a sudden you spend in free agency, you bring in guys like Steven Stamkos, and all of a sudden everybody's like, okay, well, now, hey – so much for the rebuild. We're a contender. And in a lot of ways, to me, it's not unlike where the Preds were a lot of the time under David Poile, where you kind of had a foot on both sides of the fence. And I just felt like with in the Preds situation, Barry Trotz kind of tried to do both, and so far it hasn't worked. If it still doesn't work moving forward and there isn't, guys, you start seeing apathy with that fan base. You start seeing empty seats at Bridgestone, things that have not happened for a long time. Then I think you do. It does come back on the GM. And I think if the team is terrible and out of it again next November, that could happen.
Gentry, on the Titans front, what do you make of how the offense specifically is set up in the aftermath of the draft with the two rookie receivers that they've now taken? We were just talking about Gunnar Helm in the last hour. Obviously Lockett has come in as well. What do you make of kind of the table that's set offensively for Cam Ward as he steps into this job?
I think it's better. I think the O-line's better. But I'm of the mindset here, and I have been all off season, that I'm not listening to pretty much anything that the Titans are saying. I'm only watching what they're doing. I think so far this off season has kind of rewarded that, from the standpoint of, you kind of knew all along that they were probably going to look for Cam Ward. And I think now what that's kind of telling you with how they did in the draft and what they kind of prioritized in terms of a lot of, you know, project type draft picks, developmental type players, guys who hadn't been playing positions a long time, or you could see them being a lot better 3 years from now. I don't think the Titans are planning to be very good this year. Very little of what they have done to me suggests a team that is expecting to at least contend in 2025. So I feel like Cam Ward will have a long leash in terms of his ability to grow in this offense. Now, is there enough pieces around it to help to where this is actually going to look like a team that's improving, to give some hope for the future? I think that's really the question. But I think right now there's not a lot of pressure for a team that's trying to make a playoff push.
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree. I feel like the offensive moves are, you're trying to get as, you know, you're trying to get as good as possible just to help the QB, right? I mean, but the defensive side of the ball is a little bit with a longer view, right? So then I get into another question. I guess every question I have for Gentry is about somebody on the hot seat. So, you know, so they're probably not going to have a very good record next year, but, and they may be pretty bad on D, I think. I mean, again, maybe I'm wrong, but it just, on paper, I don't see a lot of difference makers. So if that's the case, how do you judge Brian Callahan next year?
Ideally, you would like to see a scenario where a coach who specializes in developing quarterbacks is able to develop your number one overall pick quarterback. In an ideal world, it would really help Cam Ward to be able to have that. Since when have the Titans shown any patience when it comes to this sort of thing? I don't see how anyone can look at how this team is set up this season and how this season is probably going to go and feel confident that somebody's not going to get fired for it. And right now, I think if going by how things have gone the last few years, you would have to expect that would be the head coach. Now, if the team gets out there and they're improving, they play better toward the end of the year, there's a lot of scenarios that I think can affect that. But right now, if I'm Brian Callahan, I don't see how you can feel great about this scenario just because there's going to be so much growth that needs to happen, most notably with the game's most important position.
So, Gentry, last thing for you here, a big matchup coming up between Tennessee and Vanderbilt on the baseball front. Vanderbilt playing maybe a little bit better than people expected. Tennessee struggling at the moment. So what do you make of where both teams stand and this weekend series coming up?
Yeah, you know, I would have never expected going into this that Vanderbilt would be ranked higher than Tennessee. That hasn't been the case all season. Tennessee's been number one for a lot of the season. Whereas I think Vanderbilt's kind of been under the radar a little bit of a younger team that's improving at the right, starting to improve a little bit at the right time. Tennessee needs this. This is a big weekend for Tennessee. They go to Arkansas to end the regular season. It's a very good team. So if you don't win this series, I'm not so sure you're going to get the next one. And if you close on a run like that, then you're probably not hosting in the NCAA tournament. So I think it's that pivotal for Tennessee that they have a good weekend. I think they're probably going to have a good weekend only because when these two have played, there have been two consistencies when these two have played the last few years. It's been very chippy, very heated, and I think that'll be the case again. There's several reasons for that. But also, Tennessee's just pretty much dominated Vanderbilt up until here very recently. Vanderbilt got one game to close last year's series, then they beat him in the SEC tournament one time. But, you know, it's not easy to go to Knoxville and win. Teams have made it look easy here lately, which has been one of the big surprises of this season. It's really the first time under Vitello that's happened. But I just feel like there's a lot on the line for Tennessee this weekend. We'll see how Vanderbilt responds to it. They can kind of play spoiler. They're a team, like I said, with some young players who are starting to improve, especially offensively. They've been a little more clutch lately. And there's going to be a lot of clutch situations, I think, going out to Tennessee this weekend. But I think this will be a circle the wagons kind of weekend for the Vols.
We'll see if Vitello makes it through the weekend without getting run by the umps. We'll see how that goes. Gentry, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, our guest on Robbie and Rex Robe. We'll take your reaction to what Gentry Estes had to say, plus a potential solution that Joe Rexrode has been yelling about for years. Could we be on the verge of it? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week, celebrating National Barbecue Month. Get a $50 gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off. You can try their new barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's head to our phone line and welcome in Ross to the program. Ross, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the call, the program each time. First time I've gotten to call in, but you started something last Thursday. I guess we've been talking about it all season. And Gentry hit on it, but I don't hear anyone talking about this. I know the staff has to prove it, but I just don't remember thing, maybe the new safety for the Titans referring to it with the Panthers, but we had a rookie head coach, a rookie defensive coordinator, a rookie offensive coordinator, rookie offensive play caller, rookie defensive play caller, rookie special teams coach, none of whom had really coached together. I think that by itself is going to be improvement for this team, especially when you consider they had almost no players that really had worked in the scheme on offense. You had one, Tyler Boyd, who you got in June. Now you at least have players in every position group that have played in this scheme, what the coaches want. I know it still has to translate to the field, but I'm thinking they're going to get two or three wins just because they play faster. The coaches understand what is needed better. That alone will probably pick up several wins. So I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Thank you, Ross, for the call. I'm hoping specifically on the Brian Callahan front, you know, we have brought this up a little bit of how much better has he gotten? How much do you learn from year one to year two? And that's both as an offensive play caller, which is very important, but more importantly as the head, the CEO of the whole thing. How much, what did you learn last year about how much of a tire fire it was and the way things went, and how much better is Brian Callahan in year two? Because he's going to have to be better.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I might be a little optimistic that it translates to several wins, but, I mean, I think that's only happening if also the roster proves to be improved to a pretty fair degree, and yep. Cam Ward is, you know, that's a lot of factors. But I think that's a fair point. And I think Denard Wilson, you know, I think Denard Wilson's a promising, you know, prospect as a D coordinator, as maybe a head coach someday. You know, I mean, all these coaches last year, I think at times we saw like they did look like first year coaches. They didn't do great. They didn't do their jobs at the highest level in this league. Also, again, they had what is objectively considered the worst roster in the NFL. So how much did you put on coaches? It's hard. I mean, it's even like people – we got more texts today. It's basically daily whenever we get into quarterback talk. How could you judge Will Levis last year, the offensive line? I mean, they obviously did, and I think objectively speaking, I think that you can still judge a quarterback even if the offensive line play is bad, and that's happened. I think it's fair. But it is hard when so many things are bad to divvy it up and identify exactly what the issue is. So we'll know a lot more this year.
We'll know a lot more this year, and like I said, beyond, you know, everybody's going to be judged on wins and losses ultimately. I get that. I've said it many times. I did not think, even given the state of the roster last year, that Brian Callahan and his coaching staff displayed enough answers to the problems. And frankly, they got blown out way too much in a league where it should be hard to get blown out as much as they did last year. So that tells me it's a combination of things. Yes, the roster is a huge and the biggest part of it. I think we would all agree with that. But the coaching's got to get better. And we'll see on the Brian Callahan front how much that happens. Joe, you've been yelling about something for a while in the world of college football. And I think, potentially, we could be heading towards a solution here. Because we all know that money can solve a lot of problems. And maybe money is about to get thrown at this particular problem. The SEC, currently with an 8-game conference schedule, which you've talked about, is ridiculous. The Big Ten plays 9. There's really no reason, especially now with as big as the SEC is, for it to not be playing 9 conference games. It's better football. We all want to see better football. All due respect to, you know, Tennessee taking on Chattanooga and Alabama taking on Mercer. The more we can eliminate those games, the better off with it I am. And apparently, according to The Athletic, ESPN has a willingness to maybe try to solve this problem. I'll read the first couple of graphs from Seth Emerson and Andrew Marchand, who have put this together at the Athletic. ESPN has indicated a willingness to increase its payment to the SEC if the conference adds a 9th game to its league football schedule. Sources briefed on the matter told The Athletic. There is no formal offer yet, those sources added, and the exact amount of the increase still needs to be fully negotiated, but the sources said the additional money would likely be in the range of $50 to $80 million annually on top of the current deal in which ESPN pays the conference $811 million per year to broadcast its sporting event. So nothing has been offered and or negotiated on that front yet, and it does not guarantee that this is going to be the final thing that clears the hurdle when it comes to the 9-game conference schedule. But we do know, Joe, money solves a lot of things in the world of sports. What do you make of this potential solution here that apparently ESPN is willing to at least try with the SEC?
Yeah, good job by Seth and Andrew, friends of the show.
Indeed.
And here's some journalism, facts and stuff like that. And things, those things happen. And this is important. We'll see if they actually do this, you know, getting further in the story, and you know they've got the SEC meetings in Destin, which you ideally you'd have the, you know, the spring meetings. Yes, which ideally you would have the.
Can we go?
Decision made. Actually, I might be going.
Sweet. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can come along too. Put you, you know, find a little cot for you.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Just sleep on the beach.
Probably not.
But they're probably so. The whole thing here is also the playoff format, right? So that's like June is probably when that happens, and that's when I think this happens. And I think that's still going to come down to, even with this money, I think it still is going to come down to how it looks. And I hope it's not, okay, well, if we get the auto bids, yeah, we'll play more games because then there's less risk on us. I hope it's not that. But I think that's probably discussed, at least in that way. And they need to go to 9, in my opinion. I understand the idea that, well, if we go to 9, are we screwing ourselves? But, like, the Big Ten is at 9. I think it should be uniform, like you said, as far as fans and the product. Like, you want fewer of these games that are just not competitive, that are just there to have a home gate and to have a you know, television inventory, but no one's interested in the actual product that day. So I hope, I mean, I'm glad ESPN is wisely, in my opinion, doing this. They saw what last year, the ratings, everything was great. So now it's on the SEC to actually step up here.
Well, I could tell you that's going to be probably the first thing that Sankey approaches on this topic, which is, yeah, I mean, we'll do this if we can get this college football playoff figured out where we have 4 auto bids. Let's do it.
Yeah, although it's interesting because I think Sankey has taken note of how many people are very against that idea. So he's been real careful too, right? Allocations. And,
yes.
Yeah. So it's really interesting, you know. It doesn't have to be, you know, I mean, ultimately what then ends up happening is then you get to 16, you know, and it's like, okay, at some point you're big enough that you can absorb, if everybody can absorb a few losses, play all these awesome games, which again is not the college football we grew up with, but it's where we are.
It's where we are. Unfortunately,
embrace
it's where
it.
We are. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. I've got a mini Rob rant coming up next before we get to the Rex rant.
Nice.
745.
So many rants.
It's going to be an angry 30 minutes here coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk. Pregame beginning at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us at 8 o'clock to get into the Titans and all things NFL. But, Joe, I've got a bone to pick and a fear that I think is very quickly going to become a reality here in the world of sports. You know, this has been, when you really look at it, objectively, really a fantastic year for hockey. Like, it really has been. The Four Nations Tournament was an unbelievable success that I don't think anybody saw really coming that way, like to that level of what it looked like. And we've talked about that and how it sets up next year for international hockey in the Olympics, and it's going to be awesome, and everybody's looking forward to that. The ratings are good. The money's good. The cap's going up a lot. It's good. Hockey in the playoffs. Like, there's a lot to love about hockey right now, and I think it's in a great spot. And I have a fear that in the not-too-distant future, we're going to dilute this thing a little bit, and that NHL expansion is going to be at the root of that. Now, look, expansion, obviously, we're in a city where expansion has benefited greatly, right? They came here in the late 90s, and it has turned into a fantastic hockey market and a place to play and all that. Vegas very quickly had success, and it has turned into one of the best organizations in the NHL, objectively. Seattle, it's been a little bit of a slower go, but Seattle seems to have embraced the Kraken and things are going really well. So you've hit that number of 32 in the NHL, which frankly I think is perfect. Like, I think 32 teams is exactly what they need. Frankly, I think the NBA is going to get to 32 at some point. I mean, they're going to go to Vegas and we'll see where else the NBA ends up, whether it's back in Seattle or what that looks like. But NBA is going to get to 32 at some point. The NFL is at 32. I think it's in a great spot where it is, and I have a fear that we're going to get to 36. And I just think it's too much. Like, I think it's too many teams. Number one, it's too many teams. Number two, I think when you have four more teams that could be coming, I think you start to dilute the talent pool a little bit. And the level of play, not with your top guys or anything like that, but as a league, as you have to go deeper into the rosters and you're adding what at that point would be over, you know, 100 more players to the league, I think you're diluting the pool a little bit. And I get it. It's the money. Like, the money when you add expansion teams is really good. And I mentioned it. The money's going well for the NHL right now. And frankly, the expansion is a part of that, right? Like, there was an exorbitant expansion fee that Vegas had to pay to get in the league. And then it went up with Seattle. And now they're talking about, could Houston get an expansion team?
Yep.
Could you go back to Phoenix? And you didn't work with the Coyotes, but a lot of that was ownership and kind of the land problems in Phoenix. So could you eventually go back there if there's a better solution there? People want another team in Toronto, which I just think is stupid, but people want another team in Toronto. Like, there's all these different options that are out there. People have thrown Kansas City out there as a potential spot in the NHL for expansion. So I have no doubt that it's probably going to happen and that 36 is probably going to be the number at some point. And I just don't like it. Like, I think that's too many teams, and I am not a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Too much. Bradford says, meet in the middle at 34. I could live with that. 36 seems crazy.
I think 34 is hard to do, though, because, like, you've, like, at least at 36 –
You
got 18 on one side and you got 18 on the other, right? Like, I don't like it, but it's an even number. I think 34 is harder to do.
Yeah, 17 and 17.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, then one division has one more, obviously, than the other.
Exactly.
Wasn't Hamilton, Ontario, isn't that where these guys were going? Hamilton, Ontario?
That's where they were going to go, yeah.
Yeah. What about Hamilton, Ontario?
I mean, they're on the list. I mean, there's all sorts of people talking. Like, what about Quebec City? Like, are they going to get another team?
Like, Houston has, Houston has been very.
Like, I think Houston's going to happen. I mean, Houston is what, the fourth biggest market in the United States or whatever it is. Like, I think they're eventually going to get into Houston. But, and again, like, I get it. Like, the money is going to be what drives this thing ultimately. as a hockey fan and somebody that is just worried about the game itself, I understand the money part of it. I don't love the idea of 36 teams in what is already, I think, the hardest championship in major professional sports to win, in my opinion. I think adding more teams to it, making it more difficult, and again, diluting the talent pool as a whole when you have just more people coming in. It's not like there are like more great players floating around. It's basically the same as it's been for a while now. But I like, you're going to have like AHL guys in the NHL on a more consistent basis if you're just adding more players to the talent pool.
Well, the Milwaukee Admirals.
They did stave off elimination last night.
The Milwaukee Admirals are still alive. Just bring the Milwaukee Admirals up. I mean, that's an exciting team. Yeah. I'm just saying. No, I think you're right. I think you're totally on point. I agree with Dennis. You know, I agree with Dennis on this too. One, you can have too much of a good thing, but like the outdoor games, an example with the NHL. You know, there's so many now that they don't seem special, but like they do well. So what are you supposed to do? You know, if you're in charge of a league like that, you're gonna be like, okay, well, my job is largely to drive revenue.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, look, you know,
but there's still a balance.
When Vegas came in, what was the number, the expansion fee? It was like $550 million or something like that, right? And then Seattle came in, and it was like $630-something million, you know, roughly around those. You know, who's to say that by the time the next expansion wave comes in, like does somebody have to pay a billion-dollar expansion fee to get in? Like if I'm Gary Bettman in the league, it's hard for me to look at that and say, oh, no thanks, we're not doing that. But like you don't want to get to 45 teams in the NHL, right? Like that's – I think you get to a point where it's too much. Now, some would argue that maybe 36 is the perfect number. I think we're at the perfect number right now. That's just me.
Yeah, 36 is wild, man. I mean, you think about the NFL, like when I was a kid, you know, like the NFL obviously has done incredibly well. But like even when I was a kid, it was 28. It's not like it's like, you know, they understand like there's got to be a limit here. 36 teams in a professional American Professional Sports League to me seems absolutely excessive. Now, why does 32 seem okay? I mean, obviously, it's just like because you get used to it. But I think you're right, man. The watering down is something to really be concerned about.
Well, I think you've got to be cognizant of that if you're the league. But again, I ultimately think like I can whine about this. I think I'm going to lose. Like I think the momentum is going to be there for the NHL to eventually get to 36. And what I hope is they look at it and say, all right, 36 is enough. Let's not get to 40. I hope we can – like I don't need 20 teams in each conference.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's an unbelievable amount.
Yeah, you're not college sports, okay? Right. We already got enough issues with college sports and their 20-team leagues that are soon arriving. What do you think of the Utah Mammoth? You like the Mammoth?
I kind of do. Like I like the Mammoth. Now, full disclosure, I like the idea of the Utah Yeti better. And then I think they ran into like some trademark stuff with that thing. So they've gone with the Mammoth here. Now, I've known it's going to be the Mammoth for a couple weeks because I don't know if you saw this, but they accidentally like registered the YouTube name and that made the rounds a couple weeks ago. So it was like, oh, the Utah Hockey Club's YouTube name used to be just the Utah Hockey Club, and now it's the Utah Mammoth. I wonder what they're going to name their team. So that's been out there for a couple weeks. I like the jerseys. I think they're cool. So I'm a fan of it. What about you?
Got the Kraken. Got the Mammoth.
Yeah.
Things like that. If we're going to have all these teams, can someone be the Bigfoot? Like who? Why have we not had Bigfoot yet?
I agree. And the Yeti would have been close.
Yeah, the Yeti would have been close. Yeah. But it's okay, Mammoth. It's all right. It's not as cool as Kraken.
Kraken's
really
pretty
cool, and I like their sweater. Yeah. I like all that.
I like the Mammoth sweater. I do. Like it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Tuss up, baby.
Yeah,
tuss up.
That I don't like. We don't have to have a catchphrase for like everything, do we?
Yes, we do.
I guess we do.
Unfortunately, yes.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Rob to the program. Rob, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning. It's been a minute. I really enjoy you guys, so thank you so much for adding a lot to our day.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, just before I weigh in on the 36, do you know why they used to throw the octopus in Detroit?
Yes, because that's how many wins it took to win a championship.
Right. Took 8 games to win. Now it takes 16. And what's it going to take with 36 teams? 24? Like, it's... it's to a point where the original six carries so much beauty to it because there was, you know, the hockey players were totally awesome and then build and build and build. At 32, you look where we are right now, you look at what we saw for the Nashville Predators. Basically, we're watching Milwaukee play. We're paying $200 a ticket. Is that right? I say no. So, like, the whole thing is you're going to be watching. We're going to be watching American Hockey League hockey in Nashville, and that's not what I want to pay $18.50 for a beer and $12.50 for a hot dog to watch a kid with zits that shouldn't make it anyway. And so I'm just like, it's enough is enough. And I think that overall, when you watch what's happened already, we're watching American Hockey League hockey anyway. So it can only get worse. Totally agree with you, Robbie. Good point.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. I mean, again, like the top of the game, like the playoffs are great. Like the playoffs are...
By the way, that better not freaking change. Like, Rob's point.
Playoff expansion, and don't get any ideas about like this stupid play-in stuff that the NBA is doing. Right. That Gary
20
Bettman,
teams don't play in the playoffs. Yeah. That's, if you're going to have 36, 20 don't play.
Yeah, the Gary Bettman has shut down the idea to this point of, like, you know, going with the play-in stuff, which, thankfully, let's just shut it down.
Don't even bring it up again. No one bring it up again.
But, yeah.
Lying media.
I mean, if they get to 36, I mean, they're going to be owners that are sitting there like, you got to expand the playoffs. You got to expand the playoffs. And I'm going to be screaming, no, leave it alone.
No.
Playoffs are fine.
Yeah, it's that's a big – because I think you're right. Like, there's nothing we're going to be able to say to stop this. But that's got to be foot down on that one.
So that was my Rob rant. We got the Rex rant coming up next.
Hey.
Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025.
And apparently it has to do – I didn't realize, is Rob right? Is it $18.50 for a beer? Because I'm going to have a couple tonight at Bridgestone.
We'll go find out.
Hope not. That's an extra dollar I didn't expect to pay.
Robbie and Rex wrote 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well – Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rox Road on 102.5 The Game.
Marlins, baseball, home run.
You know Creed, right? Dude, it's the best. If you can do a good Creed sound, it sounds great.
We don't want to hurl. Under all the sunlight, welcome to this place. I'll show you
something like that. You know what I mean?
Sometimes when I walk down the street, people shout, "What's up, Creed?"
Stolen base. I know some baseball words.
Did I say Rox Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that
no
again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Does if the floor is yours.
That was an amazing opening. Who was talking there when they were doing – who was that?
Have it in here saved as Bryce Petty.
Okay, there you go.
Former quarterback from, I guess, Baylor, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So,
okay.
I don't know. It's a throwback.
That's highly skilled.
I got it in here, and so there we go.
Interesting. So that, I love that intro. I just wish that you would have ended it with Pearl Jam because we're going to see Pearl Jam tonight.
Yes. You know? But it's the rant. So.
I know. So, and this is the thing. This is the only negative thing I have to say to Pearl Jam. I do have. Someone is asking for my top 10 list. Don't worry. I got my top 10 list of songs I want to see tonight. And I'm jacked because Tuesday's show did not have any of my top 10 songs. And so I feel like I've got a chance here to get a few of them. But I just... I have to offer one critique of Pearl Jam. It's not really their fault, but, you know, I've ranted about this before. I'll quickly go through it. You got great bands. What happens in music is you have a creative, you know, truly great artist. Sometimes it's an all-new style of music, but a lot of times it's just like that particular band has a sound, and then they're very successful, and then the Suits get involved, and then you have a bunch of crappy copycats. Like, for example, the best band of all time, the Beatles. Thank you. you know, then you get like the Monkees, right? After that. Yeah. It's my rant, Robert. No comments from you.
I'm just checking.
You got, you know, like early 70s, you got Grateful Dead, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and then you get a bunch of cheesy like 70s like stuff, like Yacht Rock. I mean, I love Yacht Rock, but still, you know, Led Zeppelin leads to lesser copy, like Deep Purple, Stevie Wonder, A Million Copycats, Black Sabbath, incredible, like really a different sound of metal, and it gets to like stuff that I used to think was good when I was 12, like Poison and White Lion, that really wasn't good, you know, like the hair bands. Prince and Michael Jackson had a million copycats, you know, like some of the one-hit wonders. Again, I like some of it too. Like, so some people like Creed, and that's fine. If you like Creed, that's fine. But the early 90s was, to me, an incredible time for music. I still think it's one of the most important times for music. We kind of got out of the hair rock crap, and we got, of course, you know, Nirvana really started it, but Pearl Jam was right there too, and Pearl Jam was obviously very successful. They're a great band. I'm so excited to see them tonight. By the way, that's going to be on Sirius Live, which tells me that there's going to be a pretty good set list. I mean, if they're going to put it live on the Pearl Jam channel, you know, like which is at 8:45, I feel like it's going to be pretty good. But Pearl Jam, man, it led right to Creed, and that's just too bad, you know. And again, I can't blame these guys from Pearl Jam. It's not their fault that, like, what they did, then a few years later, people thought Creed was good, even though Creed was total crap. But it is too bad that their copycat was among the worst bands to ever make music.
You know what I hope for you tonight?
What's that?
I hope that Pearl Jam is, they're playing, they're doing their thing out there, and they say, you know what? We've got a nice live surprise guest for you, baby.
I'll walk
Here's
out.
Here's Scott Stapp from Creed.
I will walk out.
And he comes out and joins them on stage.
I will. I hope, and play that song, and play a Creed song.
I hope they go five Creed songs deep out there tonight. I hope they just lean into it. And I hope they do it just for you. And I hope you're forced to sit there and watch
I'll leave. I'll leave.
You will not.
Katie might stay, but I will leave. Oh, God. That's a nightmare. Now I'm afraid because this happens all the time in Nashville.
I hope it happens. If Pearl Jam, if you're listening, which I know you are, yeah. You got any sort of pull around here, you make sure Scott Stapp's out on that stage tonight.
I'm fine if you call out Scott Stapp to play the cowbell, okay? Scott, we need more cowbell. He's just out there, ting, ting, ting. You know, that's fine.
I get lumped into this garbage because the people, you know, sometimes people will text in and be like, I can't believe you guys hate Creed the way you do. It ain't both of us. It's just one of us. And he's sitting over there. He's not sitting right here.
Eric brings up Puddle of Mud. There's a good one. There's a lot. I mean, again, you get to the mid and late 90s and you get all the terrible bands that were trying to copy all the good bands like Pearl Jam and Smashing Pumpkins and, you know.
Remember that time Todd Richards called in, Pred's assistant coach, and he was like, man, that intro is awesome. I love Creed
Dude,
so much.
Creed is awesome. Again, people like Creed. It's fun. Again, I like Yacht Rock. Yacht Rock, some of it is really bad, but I like it. So, like, I understand. Like, you don't have to. This is not, you know, we're not trying to be Karski in the Ivy League, okay? But I'm just saying, they suck. All right, here's my top 10 Pearl Jam songs that I want to hear tonight real quick. Chloe Dancer, number one. Now, that's a Mother Love Bone song. Andrew Wood passed away. That basically is what led to Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder replacing him. It's a very unlikely play, but they sometimes play it. Got to see Chloe Dancer. State of Love and Trust, Breath, both of them from the single soundtrack. Not For You, I Got Id, WMA, Tremor Christ, Animal, Hail Hail, and Once is my only song off 10 that I want to see. Again, they played none of these the other night. I feel like I got a pretty good chance of getting a few of them, so... Fingers crossed for
no
me.
Even Flow. I can't understand a word he says.
They
that
played
song.
That the other night.
Okay,
and I love Even Flow, and I saw them play that last time they were in Nashville. But I'm cool.
Pearl Jam. Your orders have been given. Scott Stapp tonight. If he's not out there, I want no part of it. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up next from Yahoo Sports. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.